So here we are, Metempsychosis editorial meeting, 2020, June 24th. It's the fourth day after the solstice. I thought something might happen, but I'm not sure.
So here it's
I had an adventure.
Here is the day after the national holiday for Quebec. So,
otherwise, it was hangover day. So
that's kind of a nationalist day. Kind of, is there some tension still with Canada around that?
They hold it 1 week earlier than than Canada Day, and then for Canada Day, all the rental leases are change over on July 1st. So instead of celebrating Canada Day, everyone spends the 1st of July moving. And so it's just this very
it's all coordinated. Like it all happens on that one day.
It's really awful. Like you can't rent a moving van for a 2 week span on either side of it. And every year
leases are a 1 year lease here. And they're from July 1st to July 1st. If you leave an apartment earlier than the full year, you have to sublet for the remainder of the year until the lease comes up. And then, it's complicated here.
It sounds so arbitrary. I'm sure there's a good reason.
The reason is to stick it to Canada.
Leave on June 30th, at the sublet for a day or.
So.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I was actually in Canada for Canada Day probably about 10 years ago. I was in Ottawa, actually.
Then you probably saw very impressive celebrations.
It was actually, there was quite a lot of partying going on. And it was, I don't know. I'd like to go back, just can't do it right now. But
border is still closed.
Yes, indeed.
So does anybody have any news to report, anything personal they want to share or impersonal, anything that we should just put on the table before we get into the substance of the meeting or the meeting proper?
Well, you said you had an adventure. Didn't you want to talk about it?
Oh, yeah, I didn't. Maybe I do. I was invited by a good friend in the area to go up to a house in the mountains and partake of some psychedelic empowered ceremony. So I have not been out. I haven't seen people this whole time of the pandemic. And in addition, I've been taking care of the transition of my mother and my family from New York to Colorado. But it was also the solstice. And so there seemed to be a cosmic alignment and a sort of moment of calm in the storm of life that would enable me to actually take him up on the invitation. And so I did this with three other men. We had an Airbnb up in Nederland, which is a small mountain community, about 20 to 25 minutes west up into the foothills of Boulder, Colorado, and had just a very interesting night. It was really deeply thoughtful. It was really deeply stimulating. It was we had some real conversations. One of the men is an African American black man, and so we had conversations that really touched on what's going on now in the country and the world around racial issues and violence and the kind of structural reforms that people are trying to make at this time, but in the midst of a whole lot of chaos. And some of the things that we were talking about in our last dialogue. So without going totally into that, what I learned or what opened up in this experience for me, I was looking forward to it as a like a moment to just step outside of my context and do something that I don't haven't really had a chance to do in a long time, and also in a good container, you know, with like trusted people who I think we brought something down. Something happened. I don't know how to describe it. I'm still, processing it and integrating it. But I am ready for our meeting. And I'm going to maybe even try to bring in some of the things that we discussed into like the bigger questions that we've been discussing collectively, like around our editorial values and the meta narrative, like what's going on in the world now. And what is this journal about? Like, what is this manifest? What is it trying to do in the world? I'm open to any questions. I don't know really well how to discuss these kinds of things yet. And I think that it's, for me, a kind of frontier. And, you know, definitely part of like my inspiration for doing what we're doing as editors and publishers and authors and poets and writers.
Sounds fun.
It was really fun. Yeah. It was really fun. And also it was harrowing in other kinds of ways. You know, it was just like fun, like in a liminal, like this could easily explode and go really wrong too. You know, like that's how it is. Some, like when you're in that sort of state, is that things could totally go wrong. And that's why it's really important to be intentional about it, but not too intentional, because there's also needs to be room for spontaneity and for like the creative influx, you know, the sort of descent of higher powers.
Well, as I said, the best things can't be told. So, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, I can understand not being able to really describe an experience like that. You know, it's just, there's just some things that, you know, it's funny, we're talking about a journal and we're talking about metapsychosis, but, you know, some things are just beyond words, you know.
We can gesture, I think, towards them, sort of make some movements, or I think they're even like they're, I mean, one of the things that came up a lot the other night, and for me, is because it was like a cosmological sort of event, I don't really understand. One of the guys, I won't, you know, share his name, but he is a student of astrology and he knows something about biblical astrology, and was sort of trying to picture it, like help me picture like what's going on, and also the meaning of a transition from one age to the other, because there are, you know, qualities that these different ages have, and one of the tenets or one of the propositions of like a biblical astrology is that we're, you know, just as the Jews were experiencing a transition of ages when they transitioned from being slaves in Egypt to, you know, founding their own nation, that globally we're experiencing a kind of transition like that, going from one kind of age to another, and it's related to and connected with in some way that I don't really understand, but you know, Bridget, I know you also are a student of astrology. It's connected with the motions of the stars and the planets, and the way that the Earth spins basically in its orbit. But there are multiple orbits and orbits within orbits. And one of the interesting things about this solstice, as I understood it, is that there was this like special alignment where like Jupiter, Saturn, and maybe the moon, I'm probably getting that wrong, but we're aligned with the galactic center, that is to say the center of the Milky Way, which contains a supermassive black hole. And so there's a supermassive black hole at the center of the galactic, you know, the galactic system. Jeffrey would be the right person to ask about, you know, to follow up on this. And there's some kind of alignment. And there's an astrological like significance to that. And for me, it was interesting. And like, why not like try to line up with that and see what comes and see what happens, even though I don't fully understand the forces that I'm working with. You may have more to add to that, or, you know, I'm sure you have more to add to that. I'd love to hear what you all think.
Plus the eclipse, right? Which we weren't present for, but which part of the world saw. I don't know whether it went by where you are, Eduardo.
No. I wasn't even aware that there was an eclipse. When was this?
Sunday.
Sunday. It was Sunday. Saudi Arabia and India are pretty much the area. Yeah.
So okay. It was an annular eclipse of the sun, where the moon covers the inner part of the sun, but leaves a ring around the edge.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
A very sort of energetic eclipse, if you like.
And there's three eclipses. There was one on the July, a lunar one on June 5th or 6th. That was that one. And then there's another one coming up July 5th, another lunar eclipse. So it's, yeah. So if you follow astrology, there's also five retrograde planets right now. And Vedic astrology, I follow both Eastern and Western astrology. They both kind of interpret these things differently, but they both kind of agree that this is really intense. And yeah, what you're saying, Marco, is that there's kind of a shift between ages. A lot of people, like, you know, you heard about the age of Aquarius, you know, like in the 60s, but it's not, but that's something more that's forthcoming. It's not something that's happened yet. And there seems to be like, we're transitioning out of the Capricorn age into that age. So, and yeah, there's a lot of different indicators depending, and then there's all different ways you can look at the horoscope and the planets and so forth. But I'm losing track myself, to tell you the truth. But
one interesting suggestion I heard was that it could kind of be like moving from a geocentric to a heliocentric model.
Yes, that was what I heard.
Mm-hmm. But then from there, hopping to like a galactocentric model, in a sense, seeing ourselves spinning in that larger orbit. I think that's an interesting idea. And I want to play with it a little, you know, but so anyway, that was my experience this weekend.
We don't even live in a galactocentric universe. We live in a super, I don't know, some other kind of universe.
An uncentered universe.
Yes, an uncentered universe.
I question the idea of the center.
Well, that's a whole like leap in like kind of order of, you know, like, I don't know, like cognitive orientation, because really like that heliocentric or galactocentric, or if there was a, you know, if the local galactic cluster were spiraling around something else, those would still be in this three-dimensional space. And they wouldn't really be taking, I think, into account the four-dimensional and like the interior space. And so I think like, what is some like developmental models of consciousness development look at the ways that we hold centers as how encompassing our consciousness is, like how encompassing our, it could be a moral consciousness or like a theoretical consciousness, but going from like self-centric to group-centric to world-centric, and then like to cosmocentric, where all beings are included in that regard or embrace, is like the evolutionary ascent. But you know, what is that? I mean, that's a deep path, I think, to go there. And it could also be just abstract. So
the universe has us in a situation where wherever we are and wherever we look out, we think we're at the center. But everybody thinks the same, regardless of where they are.
I mean, that's relativity, isn't it? I mean, that was Einstein. I mean, that's the idea. Oh,
it's this idea of an expanding universe. So if the universe is expanding, it doesn't really matter where you are. It's the raisin cake. Whichever raisin you're on, they all seem to be moving away from you. You can't determine where the center is, but each of you thinks you're the center.
Right.
But I am.
I don't think it. I know it. Well, I like Mary's no-centric. Maybe GNO-centric.
Gnostic-centric, yeah.
Oh, nice. I like it.
So that was a riff.
I started reading lots of submissions in the last week. I had some fun. I know that the submissions that were in those folders are not necessarily Like those people might not even be interested in publishing with us anymore, or, but I just wanted to give myself an idea of like what to expect when we first start getting, I thought I would like test drive my editorial, my editorship on some stuff that we already had before the serious influx arrives. And yeah, it was really interesting.
What were your impressions?
There's quite a range. I and this is possibly just like personal or related to how much energy I can put into things these days. I found myself biased towards the poetry rather than the prose. And part of that is maybe just that even if someone's written some very good prose, if they've sent me a novella, it has to be really good for me to like squeeze in the time to read it. Whereas some of the poems were just like so sharp and imagistic, and yeah, they were good. I made notes as I went along and put them in the spreadsheet of my impressions.
That worked for you then?
Yeah, I didn't give them numbers yet because I thought I just wanted to read a certain amount to get an idea of the range before I started ranking them. But I kept a few notes about just my impressions so that they'll be in the spreadsheet and we can refer back to them. Let's see, they were things like, yeah, like if I really liked the language, I noted it, or I read a short story that it really was, I still wasn't very into it by page 7, so I noted that and stopped reading. Noted that in the notes for us, not the notes for the author. So yeah, I think that I like the spreadsheet tool. I think it's working. It works for me.
Okay, well, that's cool. I'm glad to hear, because technically I would say it's like a beta thing. It's a beta product. It's not as smooth as a spreadsheet as like Google Sheets. And so like, but at the same time, I've had this desire to like use open source projects and sort of get out of the Google, Facebook, Apple world. And I realized that could just be a personal obsession and a personal kind of concern. And at the same time, I feel like it has a narrative value also in a certain way, like, but it still shouldn't be impractical. Like it has value to like, I think say, hey, we're going to like kind of take a stand in a way, like, and, you know, use software that's free and open to use and then anybody can develop and blah, blah, like all the kind of thing, you know, the values of open source, but it still has to work. And that's the thing. Like oftentimes the stuff that Google and Apple make are just, they work better because partly because they have billions and billions of dollars and, you know, hordes of engineers to make them. So I don't want to like be dogmatic about it, but if it works, it works. And I know like Bridget like had a kind of glitch around it. So if it works, let's go with it, I say. And if there are any glitches, I'll try to fix them.
I had no technical glitches, which was good, which could just be coincidence. I found I had more comments than really like you can type obviously as much as you like into a spreadsheet cell, but by the time I've written a couple of sentences, like that about the format maybe could require some thought.
Okay. Well, here's what I've been thinking.
Yeah.
Is that we could take, and I've, the structure of the spreadsheet and turn it into something like that's more interactive. Mm-hmm. So like in WordPress, we could create a custom, I'm just going to describe some technical, not everybody will understand it, but it'll make sense, I hope, in some, that we create a custom content type. It's called submission. And then the submission has various fields associated with it, like the content of the submission and the featured, but we can add fields for reviewer comments, and then basically there's like a data object that is integrated with the site. So if we're the editors, we could assign ourselves as reviewers or as the editor for that piece. And then the piece could just like kind of hold all that information. And then the comments wouldn't be limited to the cell of a spreadsheet, because they could be comments on the post, or they could be tied to the forum and there could be comments there. But we'd still be able to capture all the same data that's in the spreadsheet. And it would be relatively like, it's, I don't know, like an afternoon building it, like me and Kayla just hanging out and drinking a beer. And wow. Yeah, so I'm thinking like that if we, but those afternoons come rarely. Just that's the problem. But in the next few weeks, I think we should be able to put something like that together. And in the meantime, we still have the spreadsheet. So we could capture the data and then we can move it when we have like a more sophisticated tool. But that's like the beauty of an open source system, by the way. It's like just that. It's like I can just build it, you know, because the tools are there and anybody can use them. And you know, it just lets us move forward and not depend on.
It was also a help on a non-technical note, reading the submissions. As I was reading them, I tried to be real, start thinking about like interrogating my own values and like, what is it about this I like and what is it that I didn't? And so I've started to write that blog post. Hi, I'm going to be one of the editors. This is what I'm looking for. It helped me generate a lot of ideas for that. So that's started.
Cool. Yeah, that was one of some of my notes relating to last week had to do with the values that we began discussing, and then the idea of like asking each of the editors to reflect on, you know, their respective values, and that becoming like fodder for blog posts.
Yeah, I think in another day or two I can have it polished and I'll post it so that you guys can give me feedback on it.
And that'll be good to help figure out what I'm going to write too.
And my kind of model was, I started with a paragraph that is just like introducing me and what kind of writing I do, but I keep it brief, but just so that, I don't know, to have an idea of me as a person. And then I go into a paragraph that said, basically, it's labeled what I'm looking for in writing. and then I, go off on that for a while. So, yeah.
And I'll just say my blog post, I thought I would write it before the solstice, and I had an issue come up. This is not an excuse, but it's kind of a good, I don't know, it was an interesting story. No, forget. Well, so I did this work. I did a website for some people who want to remain anonymous, and they were worried about, like, you know, they're trying to just kind of take on sacred cows and stuff. They're really smart though, and like good-hearted people, but they got attacked, or they think they got attacked, like their server got attacked. And so I wasn't managing any of that. Just, we did the design for the site, but we had to like reconstruct the site. So it was like 3 days of, and it wasn't like that much work, but that is the kind of thing, like you have to deal with it, you know, and it takes your attention away. It was like putting out a fire. And they're going to come out of their closet at some point, I think. And then at that point I can too. But I didn't write the blog post that I wanted to write. And like, I didn't really like what I wrote last week, even though we discussed it, like some of the feedback that I got, that it didn't have as much of a, like a personal voice. And we also talked a lot about the meta narrative and like all those ideas, like I'm still sort of brewing with them. And like, I want to write something that comes from myself, but also like makes that call for submissions and somehow like frames like what we're doing in like relation to this, you know, to what is going on more like in the world. And like, also like, I don't know, like we've done so much actually. Like when I reflect back, we have so many different book groups and writing groups, and like even these conversations that we've been having now, somehow like to, it's like we just do it, but we haven't like promoted it or anything. And I do want to promote it, but in this blog post, I want to somehow, I don't know, like make summarize it or something? Like what is this all about? Like, what did this all mean? Why did we spend, you know, all these hundreds of hours reading these books and doing these discussions, and like the time that everybody spends on their own writing and their own work, and like, why is that valuable? Like, what is? So I'm trying to come to some articulation of that, and I think I need a few more days, for sure. And I've been like clearing stuff. Like today, I accepted an offer on my parents' house in New York, which we've been wanting to sell since the beginning of the year. And it's like things are moving, like things that have been in stasis and been like in a holding pattern and in a limbo, like seem to be moving. And it's kind of across levels, you know, personal context and then like other contexts. Like we've seen like in the politics, the Supreme Court, you know, basically siding on this, on protections for queer and transgender people, you know, that were previously not really afforded to them in the same way as other civil rights. That in the United States, there's a lot going on. So anyway, I would love to hear from Jeffrey, Bridget, Eduardo, and maybe we could then talk a little bit more about like that meta narrative and our editorial values. And then since we have like an hour left, if we give like half an hour to that, we can then talk about like our actions. So like, what are we doing next? And what are some of the kind of dates that we're looking at? And like, you know, things that, you know, we're doing as a manifestation of our values and like in response to that like narrative unfolding, that meta narrative. Does that sound cool?
Sure.
All right.
Sounds great.
Sure. I'll go next maybe. If you don't mind, Bridget.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned this to Mary. I was approached through Goodreads by a fella who signed on to my reviews, because I do reviews whenever I read a book on Goodreads. And he was a Bulgarian guy who has who's developing an anthology of science fiction. It's Bulgarian translated into English. And he asked me if I would give feedback on his anthology. And I said, sight unseen, which I realized afterwards was a mistake. I said, yes. And he sent me the manuscript. Turns out that it's 600 pages long. And so, but I already said, yes. Yeah, so I feel like I have to deliver on this. So, but it is an editing exercise, not quite the same as what we would be doing for Metapsychosis, but I kind of see it almost as a kind of practice run at that kind of look. You know, he doesn't want full detailed editing comments. He wants yes or no on each text that he's got in his thing. So I'm halfway through it. So. But it's going to take another week or so before I can get through it. But it is, so it is kind of an editing exercise. And it also gets me to think about, a little bit like Mary said, what am I looking for in a text? Why do I like this and why do I hate that one? Which there are a number that I did hate. So it's good for that as a kind of pre-exercise almost. And so I have started to think about the values blog. I've opened the page, but I haven't written much yet. So I look forward to seeing what Mary did with it. On the other side, I've signed up for the Clarion West Summer Write-A-Thon. So this is replaces their six-week workshop kind of course that they used to do, that they do every year, a bit like Clarion also. The Write-A-Thon, it's a large group of people who sign up for it, but, and there are critiquing exercises you write and and you take part in critiquing groups. But the critiquing groups are focused around flash fiction, which I've never done very much of. And so I'm teaching myself to write flash fiction, as it were, which is maybe a good thing because I've decided no more novel projects because I've got far too many of those already on the board. So just doing short fiction is good for me. So I wrote yesterday a short fiction for because we have to submit one a week. So I wrote yesterday a short fiction in this context. And I wrote it in a genre that I've never worked in. So even though I love fantasy, I've never done fantasy. I wrote a short story in fantasy. And so it's going in tomorrow and I'll see. And then I'll get all the red ink back on it. So, but it's a fun exercise. It's a fun exercise and good exchange with other writers of all ages, I guess, in this context. So it's good. Well, I think that's all I have to say. But hi, Zachary. Great to see you again.
This would actually be a great time for Zachary to chime in because Zachary, I think, is probably here directly because we've been talking about reigniting the writer space, kind of, you know, the sharing, exchange, and giving feedback on work. And so that write-a-thon kind of thing. Like I would like myself personally these next, like, to have a period of focused time where I really get writing done, and like for there to be and to create and generate like a supportive container for that, I think would be cool. So hey, Zachary,
can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, great.
Hi,
everyone. Hi to those I haven't formally met. Mary, Eduardo, Breege. Hi again, Jeffrey. Great to see you, Marco. Yeah. I'm just thunderously passionate to dive into this writing experience with you, Marco, and with anyone else at Cosmos who's as excited to do so as I am. And it's interesting, as you were riffing off the galactic center, Marco, as if all the slots in a combination lock were coming together. I really felt that this, at least for me, is definitely a time in which that is happening, and that writing can channel forth from the black hole of God knows where into the page and perhaps into one of the many cavernous areas of cosmos. And so that's my prime excitement. And I've always felt that this particular group was the right one for at least my project. And I think one of the things that I would be excited to bring to the experience is, and this is perhaps specific to me and not to others, but it's something that's on the table as long as I'm allowed to be a nuisance in a group such as this. It would be really cohering some of our work in a deeply embedded psycho-spiritual and archetypal context for what we're doing. To say nothing of the fact of really giving ourselves up to whatever degree of the channeled experience of writing we can surrender into. And so that for me is what I'm really interested in, not just the producing of material that's interesting, exciting, and well-written, but the giving of ourselves, which is what Cosmos, I feel, has always been standing on as a bedrock of artists. You know, so I don't say this is any kind of new idea. I think this is the orientation of Cosmos, which is what excites me about it. So that's some of the things that I'm really excited about. And anyone who wants to join this intimate group of merry literary pranksters, I would you know, be incredibly excited to have you.
So we were thinking of doing that like every the alternate Wednesdays to this meeting. And I said, like, anytime 3, 4, 5 would work for me. And those would work for you, Zachary. If there's anyone else here that would want to do that, like we could set that time.
Yeah, you can count me in. I'd love to add me to your list.
Yeah? Is 3, 4, or 5 one of those times better for you?
3 is now.
Oh, sorry. 3 mountains. So
yeah. 5, 6, or 7. You know, this time is working for me quite well. The other times also work. So I don't have anything on Wednesdays right now.
Why don't we stick with it then? Just that way it's same time and we don't have to like alter anything else. So 3 o'clock next week. Cool.
I'd love to participate, but I feel that I've already taken so much from the group that if my presence there took the place of somebody else who was new, who could be there, I would give up my place for somebody else to be present. So that's the way I feel about it.
What does this entail? What's the process? We write and we critique each other, is that it? Or what?
That's a good question. Let's maybe dive into this, like kind of go do a little loop into this and we'll come back out. And then I don't even think Bridget, you had your turn yet. So we could come back to that, but this was on the list for me anyway. And it like when we've done it in the past, it's kind of been a mix of some like focusing on somebody's work and giving feedback. And we have some like approaches to how to give feedback, you know, because we don't just want to tear anybody down. Part of what we want to do is tell them what we liked, what we want more of in their work, and maybe what was missing. So that's like one way of doing it. But it's like a small group. You share work beforehand and then we talk about it and we discuss process or discuss like, you know, how it worked or didn't work. But it's meant to support the writer's individual, like their work. Like we want to see your piece get finished. I'm working on a big poem and a book. Zachary's working on a book, which is like a memoir and a history. Jeffrey's brought parts of his novel or his trilogy. I don't know if it's a braided trilogy, you can call it. 5 threes. And then the meetings we record kind of like this so that whatever comes through is available to be reviewed later. But it's just kept within the writer's underground, so it's not public because it's all work in progress. And what I suggested or what Zachary and I were talking about was that, you know, like what we haven't done so much before is like think about like how the geometry of it, because too many people is not good. Too few is not good. Like, so it seems like between 3 and 5 people is like enough that, you know, you have enough different points of view and enough energy. And if somebody can't make it, there's, you know, someone else can pick up, but you don't have to read so much. You don't have, and it doesn't mean also that each meeting, everybody has to be reviewed, you know, like it's more taking turns. I have found it like very important for my process, and like my work directly draws on stuff that happened in those meetings and in other conversations that we've had. And part of the thought is that, you know, as people submit work, some of those people could be good. Like they could also be looking for a space like that. And it could be something that Metapsychosis offers as like a perk of membership, is that we have these like peer-to-peer writing groups. But all we have to do is establish the pattern, right? And then like it could just self, you know, there'll be some, we have to maybe help it along, but there'll be like a way for people to say self-organize. However, the other part of it is that it's like all the publishing stuff is in a way secondary. Like if we're not doing the writing and if we're not like producing our own work, then it's like we're getting vicarious, like, you know, we're sort of vicariously participating and we're letting other people do all the talking. But if we're like also building a creating a field, like a creative field, and then work comes out of that. Like that is sort of like leveraging like the collective, and it's then producing material which can be like channeled through the publishing tentacles, you know, of Cosmos. So it's sort of like the ecosystem, you know, it's like building roots and building like underground interconnections. Cause then like, I know like when people like hear my poem, like when they hear the next part, like even if they don't consciously sort of can't consciously trace where some things came from or how they kind of the genesis of certain lines of thought or certain kind of poetic devices, like there are going to be actual like roots in the collective there. And so it's going to be like, not just come from my personal ego, but actually from like this field, you know, and then channeled through the particularity of my personal ego. So to me, it's like an important like part of the overall experiment, you know, that we have this sort of actual working writers like interacting with each other. And, you know, it'd be cool if it's fluid and it's like people can just self-organize. But also like, I think in order to make it happen, like to initiate it, it's like, I just got to make a commitment. Say, you know, I'm going to show up for a period of time. And so like my commitment to Zachary was that I'd do it for 12 weeks and then see where we're at and see what comes of it. And I could use that as a kind of laboratory for, you know, for creating like, for like engineering, like the next part of my poem, sort of like Frankenstein thing. Yeah. So any other thoughts, reflections, or I think what we need to, what do you think, Zachary? Do we just put together a more specific invitation for that? Or if it's just me, you, and Mary too, like that's a good start. We can just meet next week and talk about what happens next.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with everything you said, Marco. I think for me, I would love it to be a transformative experience, not to try and bite off something more grandiose than it's going to be. But, you know, a commitment like that is entirely feasible to catalyze something deeply meaningful and impactful on our own writing. And my hope would be to make it, I mean, the group is going to show us what it wants. And I think we're going to respond to that. I knowing you at least fairly well at this point, I feel like we're going to have no problem reading the signs and adding and subtracting where necessary. I think we know what historically standard writing groups have looked like and the kind of prompts that they involve, so we can stand off of that. But we're looking to include and transcend, you know. and that's what I'm really interested in. And I, you know, for myself, I obviously everyone's going to need something slightly different and we're going to be sensitive to that. But for myself, and I think perhaps for you as well, I want to be enthusiastically, aggressively, but not violently in any forum, focused on completion, on the completion of parts. Because I think, it, you know, as artists, it's so easy for us to just keep on going. And I'm in a stage in my life right now where I want to complete something. And I'm not that concerned about it being perfect. And so I already have more or less what I know I'd like to try and bite off during that time. And I know that would be very satisfying for us to hold in a light context for people.
Sounds great. Do we want to exchange material before the first meeting, or is the first meeting just going to be planning?
Marco, any preference?
I'm not ready yet. I think I have like one stanza left to write before I can share like a sort of incomplete but like completed section of work. So if either of you would like to, I'd be happy to read it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something important to note about this group too, is that like it's easy to focus on the obligation to generate material for each group, but anytime you show up and are responding to other people's work generously and helpfully, you're also contributing. So like there should be no sense of guilt associated with not churning out, with not producing.
Right. Here, here. No, that's a great caveat. And thank you, Mary, for mentioning that there certainly from my side, and I know from Marco's, there shall be no guilt whatsoever from any side anywhere during this entire process at all. Period. Because as unfinished writers, we know we already have enough of that.
Super.
Cool. All right. So it's a date.
Done.
Cool. And we can open up the invitation, like, you know, and then if you want to share something, or Zachary, you want to share something, we can put it on that thread, and I'll certainly read it before our meeting. So it'd be the first Wednesday in July, actually.
July 1st.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
All right, cool. That was on. Check that off.
Do you guys mind if I peel away now? And see you on the 1st.
Burn rubber.
See you, Zachary.
Yeah, really nice to see you all. Marco, we got an offer which we accepted on our house this weekend too.
Oh, congrats.
Wow. Yeah, thank you. So
what are you doing? Where are you going?
We're still in Oregon, but we're actually looking at a place now where we're looking everywhere. We're looking at co-housing as well as conventional housing. And this is actually a co-housing place that we just got a last minute appointment to. So we're social distancing meeting, you know, the co-housing hobbits and seeing if we're one of them.
Oh, cool. 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 Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's exciting.
Looking forward to this, Mary and Marco and anyone else. Jeffrey, great to see you and nice to see everyone else. Big hugs to you guys.
I can meet you, man.
That I will step back from this exercise and leave you guys to it and maybe come in later on another exercise when it's ready. So.
Okay. It sounds like you have a lot of plates spinning.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
You will be welcome whenever you are able to join us.
I mean, I have to say the first time through was critically important for my writing. It had a huge impact on what I ended up doing. So it is a wonderful exercise to do with the group. So.
It sounds amazing and exciting, but I don't have a project of that size, and I don't want to take. I'm not ready to work on something that big yet. So I leave you to it, and I wish you the best, and I will ask you about it in future meetings.
Are you working on anything at this time, Eduardo?
No, because I'm earning my living by writing. So I spend all day writing, and when I have free time, I don't want to write. So I'm just writing for other people now, but I'm getting better at writing, like writing things you don't want to write is a teacher. It's an amazing teacher. I wasn't counting on this, but it's really helping me. So when I can start another project, I will be a better writer, I think.
And you also completed your novel, which is like a big deal. You spent like 7 years on it,
I think. Yeah, I'm still resting. I don't want anything like that on my mind yet. Yeah.
All right. Well,
it was like yeah. I want to relax for a while still, but I was ready to jump in that meeting you're going to have because it sounds really exciting. I think it will be a good experience. What are you writing, Mari? Is it a novel or what?
Well, I am working on a novel and I'm revising and they're going on forever. But I was actually thinking for this group, I've also been trying to write some science fiction short stories recently to write more of those. And so I've got a few that are close to being done. And if I knew that folks were waiting for them to discuss them, I could get them that last little bit, like just things that are, 5,000 words or less. That I think you guys all, you have a special expertise and aesthetic appreciation that I think would be a good fit for it too. So it'd be pretty exciting.
Cool.
Well, I'm not going to give you a deadline, but
I'll give myself a deadline. I can do that.
So. I'd love to read one of those stories. Are you thinking that one could be a submission as well for this fall?
It could be. Maybe not the first one I give you, because I want to do something new for that. The ones I've got halfway. Yeah. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it. Cool.
And please send me any texts, Mary, even if I'm not directly involved.
I will. You're also my go-to for anything. Like, one of them has astrophysics in it, Jeffrey, so I need you.
Okay.
So. Mm. Yeah.
What you got going on, Bridget?
Well, quite a bit right now, actually, which is why the writing group sounds fascinating to me, but I haven't jumped on that either because I don't want to commit myself and then find that I can't do it. So I'll have to see. I think I told you I have a novella out that just came out beginning of June, called Maeve, M-E-D-B, spelled.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it was published by Head Ingram Publish It. It's actually under Cothonia Books, which is my own imprint that I have on my own website that I've just started. It's stuff I haven't, I've been doing such work with metapsychosis for years and with Cosmos, but I didn't feel like what I was doing necessarily jived entirely with what the kind of stuff that comes out on metapsychosis. So I thought, well, I'll do this as something separate. So, and I'm, I'd kind of deal more with liminal fiction, like things that are on the edge, and the things where you're not, some of it's like ghost story type stuff or things that are not, you don't quite know what's going on. So it's not, I don't know, like to me, I feel like, what we do, like for metapsychosis, for instance, tends to be more, I don't know, more speculative, more thought provoking, more, maybe more on the sci-fi kind of angle of things in some cases, or, there's a little bit of it. Richard Slebo, whose piece I just actually put in, he's a little bit more experimental, I think, in the way he writes stuff. But but I felt like it was something rather unique to the kind of thing that I'm doing. So I sort of kept it over there, even though my podcast is on metapsychosis. I've been working on that, and I've had... It's funny, we're talking about working on a novel for 7 years, Eduardo. I mean, I've been working on one for 30 years.
Whoa.
There's actually, I'm not sure whether I'm making it three novels or whether I'm making it one. I'm still driving myself mad over it. But that's something I'm determined to finish this summer. It's called The Morrigan Diaries, is the broad name for it. And and a lot of it has to do with this sort of esoteric, magical, occult, liminal kind of stuff that's, ancient Celtic goddess stuff that's kind of on this side of things, but not exactly fantasy though. It doesn't really fit into the fantasy genre exactly. Some people say it's kind of like magical realism, but I'm like, no, I don't really think it's that either. That's my problem. I have a hard time identifying my genre. I've been busy with a lot of that, plus my day job, plus I've got a kind of other side business going right now. Being I've lost my teaching jobs, they've basically fired all the adjuncts, except for the ones who just do adjuncting and nothing else. So I've kind of been focused on all that kind of work. I think as far as metempsychosis goes and everything else related to it, I'm kind of just looking to delve into the submissions, into the editorial work, kind of as I have for the last, how many years now, Marco? I forget, what is it, 5-6 years, something like that?
2017, was it?
Okay, I'm way exaggerating.
2016 was, we published your first piece actually, so yeah, that summer.
Okay, and I started with you guys before that when Jeremy was still involved.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's right. That was 2016.
Right. So, yeah, so I guess 4 years now. So it's, yeah, so I'm kind of staying on that track right now. But it would be nice to actually expand into doing some of the other things. I just, I'm just at the moment reluctant to make a commitment to other things until I know, like, how everything else is situated. So I guess that's the... That's the summary. That's the executive summary.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to create any kind of expectation either that anybody.
Oh, no, no, but it's all interesting.
It's just something I want to do. and I find, you know, like, and I kind of think it could be something like a resource, you know, for, it could be something we offer for membership too. So it's like, you know, I want to experiment with the model, you know, of what's the peer-to-peer kind of writing support community look like. That costs a lot less than an MFA, maybe gets better results, you know, I don't know, like, or not, I mean, but we'll find out. I was thinking, like, you know, like, you have this other kind of wing of activity, but there's no reason you couldn't, like, blog about it, or, you know, like, have kind of cross promotional sort of things, or like an interview. So tell us about Chthonia Books, and, you know, what are your goals, and, like, who's your audience, and, you know, what's, there could be like, that could be a blog post, is interviewing you about Chthonia. And like, it could be, we could do it. I don't know. It doesn't have to be me. It could be anybody, but it could be vocal and then just transcribe it. You know, it doesn't have to be that long either. It just gives like the essence and then links over to, you know, whatever titles you have. Did you say it was Maeve or Maeve? How's it spelled?
Pronounced Maeve, but it's spelled M-E-D-B. It's an Irish name. It's like my name, like trying to figure out how you say Irish names. There's 20 different ways to spell it, and it's all pronounced the same way. But yeah, that was the spelling that, well, we were just talking about channeling and writing and how things just kind of come to you out of the black hole. And to me, that was the right spelling, even though I'm like, yeah, people don't really spell it that way. But, you know, but that was the spelling that I had to, felt I had to stick with. So it's M-E-D-B, yeah, is the name of it. And it is available now. Ingram has it out. You know, there. Of course, I haven't gotten my own copies yet, just like with my other book. Like, you know, it's like everybody else is like, yeah, I got your book. I'm like, great, I don't. So, you know, I'm waiting for them to send it from the production. But a number of people I know have read it already and have given me feedback on it. So, yeah, I worked very hard on that.
Did Marco say this?
Congratulations.
It sounds like we should publish a review of it.
That's the word that was just in my head right now.
Yeah.
That would be great if one of you did. I mean, like I said, I respect everybody's opinion here. So, you know,
yeah.
For sure.
Well, we can't ask you for a review copy, I guess.
When I get them in, I will certainly be happy to send one to somebody if they're willing to review it.
Okay. How do we do that? Maybe...
get them. We don't have to do it right now, but
yeah. I would be more than willing, Bridget, and I would also be willing to like, books don't cost that much. I can just order my own copy too.
It's up to, if you do, I really seriously appreciate it. If you want me to send a review copy, I'm okay with that too. So whatever yeah. Works is good.
No, I think it's important to review stuff. Like, I think that's
I agree.
I enjoy reviewing stuff, but I also think it's part of a healthy literary landscape is that we review stuff.
But I'd be happy to review and put it up on Goodreads. I don't know who reads it on Goodreads, but
I do have a Goodreads page, and I do actually have it up there along with my other stuff. So yeah, if you guys are willing to, I'm extremely appreciative. And if anybody needs anything from me, like review copies, whatever, just let me know. I'll make it happen. So yeah. Whatever works for you. If you order me a copy, I'm definitely appreciative. So 100%, thank you. So it's
going
to
start.
I understand.
Cool. Just wanted to mention that there's a website called bookshop.org, Mm-hmm. And it's kind of becoming a competitor to Amazon because they just specialize in, you've heard it. Yeah. New York Times did a piece on them. They've probably been written up elsewhere. I ordered a few books through them and it seemed pretty good. They also have a more generous affiliate program than Amazon, and they have relationships with like all the publishers. So like as we review books, like we can create affiliate links, you know, and you know, any books that we write about, like we can create links that go there. Also Amazon, people prefer to shop there, but that could be kind of an income stream, you know, if books that we've read and that we've done in book groups, you know, could be also included there. So like, yeah. And just, we can be upfront about that as well, like as a transparency policy, like if you purchase a book through this link, you'll be supporting Metapsychosis or the authors. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that because it's a nice user, like the website's nice. It's not like there isn't like 1,000 things going on and different products and, you know, whatever. It's just books. And so, and the thing is, it's a B corporation and they directly support local bookstores. So they source books from local bookstores, but then a lot of their profits go back to local bookstores. And that's like written into their corporate charter. So just, that's a plug. That's a plug for bookshop.org.
I've heard of bookshop.com. I didn't know quite that much about it. I had taken a look at it at one point. But that's all good to know, really. And
for publishing, if you would get your book on there as well, like see, they probably have a relation with Ingram, I'm imagining. I don't know.
Ingram has relationships all over the world. That's why I decided to go with them, because they do farm it out internationally. Whereas Amazon, it's just on Amazon. So
that's right.
So it's, that would be great. Like the more places I'm, as I said, I have so many irons in the fire right now with all kinds of stuff I'm doing. I'm like, okay, you got to focus, get focused like on what you're doing and get focused on promoting this and finishing your other work and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I just seem to be fueled by doing 20 million things at once. So that's just kind of how I roll. but I appreciate all the support here. I seriously do, because, and it is an interesting read. It's a short read. It's very short. It's definitely not 600 pages, Jeffrey. But it's
kind of asked. I'm relieved to hear that.
Novella is what it is. It's really about, I think it comes to about 200 pages, but it's, you know, and it does raise a lot of interesting questions, certainly if it's something you wanted to discuss. I don't want to give too much away up front because that's kind of part of it, but
yeah.
But people who have read it, it's just like at the end of it, they start having one whole impression of the book. And then when they're done, they're like, wow, I completely did a 180 because I didn't expect that was how it was going to come out. So anyway, that's just, you know, that's just that, but
good.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Congratulations, you finished that one.
Yeah, that one only took me 2 years. That was fairly short. But the other one, oh my God, I've been writing it since 1985, since I was like in high school. I'm like, all right, just get this done. So anyway.
Yeah, I think I feel the pull to manifestation too. Like that's the thing. And 2020 for me has like announced itself as like a year to get things concrete, get things out, get things, you know, done and move on. You know, I think there's a lot more to come. And this is just a kind of beginning. So I have a whole list of things that we could still talk about, but what else is on your, everyone's minds as far as like for this meeting with the last 20 minutes or so?
We've covered quite a bit already, I think, unless somebody else says something, but
I've been thinking about I don't know what I've been thinking about is Spanish. I want to start a podcast, but I want to do it in Spanish. And I feel more comfortable in Spanish. So I was thinking about maybe opening a section in Spanish in the in metempsychosis or something like that, I could be more useful there, and maybe it could open a whole I don't want to say a new market, because it's not a market, but maybe
metempsychosis in español.
Yeah, something like that. Exactly. And maybe find a new another kind of voices that it's not that common for people to just write in English in the circles I run in, so I can't contribute in that way, like bringing more people or telling people to write in this in metapsychosis. But if we open something in Spanish, I could try to do it. Try to get people to write and to edit, because I don't feel that comfortable editing things in English, because it's not my first language. I don't think that I am the guy to edit other people's work, but in Spanish I would. So I don't know if that's something you're interested in. The first thing is my podcast. I am going to start it soon. I don't know. I thought about doing it in English, but it has to be in Spanish. It has. It's like information that already exists in English, but in Spanish it's not that common. So it's what the project is telling me to do it in Spanish. And also my spoken English is not great.
I think you're fine. Yeah.
I affirm your decision to do it in the right language. I think that's so important. That if the podcast needs to be in Spanish, you do it in Spanish. And that's, I think that, because there's, you know, like you have deep roots in your language. And I think that's pretty cool. I can't speak to the other stuff. I do think it's cool. It is definitely cool to have lots of stuff in different languages. I love languages. Don't speak Spanish very well myself. The only questions I can think of are more like technical and logistic and questions of effort and what would need to be done.
I agree. I mean, I totally agree with what Mary's saying. I mean, I think it's, if that's what you, you know, if you want to do it, you know, and I completely understand that. I mean, I've tried to learn other languages. I've had to know several others for different things, and I probably suck at all of them except English, because that's what I was facing. So I completely understand. I think also, though, I would wonder, though, so if it came to bringing Spanish language things into metapsychosis, which I think is a great idea, I don't have any objection to that at all. But I also wonder too, like, would that mean that Eduardo, that you're the guy who kind of like editorially would be, or whatever, like, let's just say you have the podcast, but then let's say other people want to submit Spanish language materials. I know Marco knows some Spanish, I think. Mm-hmm. Up with Spanish? I can't remember.
Yeah, my mom is from El Salvador. And so it's kind of, although I don't speak it as well as English, it's almost like my mother tongue. It's like literally my mother tongue.
Okay.
And I've done translation work as well from Spanish to English.
Okay.
I spent a couple of years almost, not continuously, but like in Nicaragua, Central America, and I wrote my first book was a book of translations of Nicaraguan poetry to English. Okay. And so I'm fairly, you know, it's like I'm out of practice, but if I spent time reading, I'm slow, but I can appreciate. Yeah, and
I think the reason I bring it up is just because if we decide to make it part of our editorial flow, just making sure, and I know Eduardo, you know, like I said, I don't want to lean too heavily on Eduardo, because I know he's got other things to do. He's got writing to do for his own job and his own living and so forth. You know, just that we would have the editorial support, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, if we were going to take any kind of submissions on that way, which again, I think is a great idea. And I think there's an audience for it for sure. But I think I would just want to be sure that, you know, because I know I'd be the last person to read anything in Spanish. And I mean, I can handle French to some degree, but well, nobody writes in Latin, right? But it's just, but you know, it's just, you know, yeah, there's certain things that, you know, as long as we have people who can, but I also just, like I said, if we ended up getting a lot in that arena, just, I don't, you know, I'd hate, you know, just to make sure that we have the support to do it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I think that certain commitment to handling more than one language is a good thing, especially in the world that we live in today, where English is certainly a kind of a interlingual kind of thing, but you know, there's a lot of other languages and cultures around, and there's a kind of hegemony to English, which we'd like to break to some extent. And so I think that is contributing to the spirit of what is, you know, that's what Zachary was talking about, the sort of underlying spirit of Cosmos and the effort here. But of course, it has to do with resources. And so I do think that if we were to do that, it would have to be clear that we're only looking at one or two submissions on an intermittent basis, at least to begin with, and that we should have at least two editors in the group who are able to deal with what comes in, so that one person isn't left holding, you know, carrying the whole thing on their shoulders. So something like that as a process.
That sounds good to me. Yeah, I think having at least a couple of, and not counting me, because I'm really slow and I think I'd need to get up to speed as an editor working with texts in Spanish. But I think your idea, Eduardo, of starting a podcast, and sounded to me like curating, like material, like seeing, so being more of a curator than an editor, like that begins to open it up. And if then Metapsychosis gets known for publishing not only in English, but in Spanish, maybe French, maybe other languages, then perhaps we'll attract writers who could become editors. And then those like divisions could grow. And, you know, maybe they'll kind of become their own things, or maybe they'll like be sections of the site. I don't know. But I'd say if you want to start a podcast, I'd love to hear it. Like, let's, you know, why don't you send us a pilot episode? And I would at least be able to understand, listen to it. And I think Maya as well, she may speak Spanish. She includes Spanish in some of her poetry, so maybe she'd be interested. She didn't do videos, but she participates on the forum pretty regularly, and also by phone. She would talk by phone. So you know, maybe we put it out there, and there's a couple of other people who could give feedback on that, and then it could be like Bridget's, where it has a section on the site, and the feed is published, and then you know, once it's published, you can share it anywhere, and yeah, I mean, I think that's. Sounds like a good next step. What do you think?
Perfect. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. It's like the first time, the first step, and let's see where it goes. I just wanted to bring the idea, and I know. We need more people to make it a reality, but maybe they will come. If you build it, they will come.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You got to start somewhere. I mean, you can't just like wait around forever. Just, yeah, if you start somewhere, then, you know, yeah, that would be a place to start for sure.
I mean, I built a wiki about fabrics and clothing, and it was designed to be a multilingual wiki. And I started off in English and French. But then people came on board, and I got a whole Spanish section, a whole German section, and a whole Italian section that came in from other people who just came on board and offered their translations and whatever. So people, I agree, I think people will come when they get excited about something.
Yep.
That's cool. Well, what's the wiki about fabrics?
Fabric and clothing. It was one of my interests in fashion and clothing. So. Because, you know, there are a lot of terms and stuff, so it's kind of developing something that, because I didn't find a lot of the online resources very good for that, so I built my own, so.
That's amazing, yeah.
Cool.
As case study, a successful case study. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sounds like that's, since we're good on that. Anything else?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm good.
So, just to be practical, I think we're looking at opening up submissions like next Friday, the 3rd.
Oh, cool.
Whoa.
And I need to draft a blog post, and I'm going to have this weekend. So if you guys can maybe I'll give myself a deadline of like Sunday or Monday or something. And that'll give like the week for it to be available to you guys to take a look at and give feedback on. Would that give you enough time if it were there by, say, Monday morning?
Oh, yeah, that's plenty of time, I think. At least for me.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, cool. And then hopefully things start coming in. I know they will start coming in. I know I have a couple of other open tasks to get you guys social media access, so I'm still aware of that.
Yes, I was going to mention that, yeah.
And Facebook, the rest that's on my list are just like big topics, like going back to the meta-narrative question, editorial values. But I think we talked about it in glancing ways.
I think the blogs may help us because we each have our own editorial values, obviously paying attention to the group set of values that we already talked about. And I think the blogs will bring that up and activate these ideas. And then we can maybe have a discussion after everybody's done their blog posting about how this comes together.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And say we could do a discussion in this meeting and like excerpt it, like that part of it could be another blog post that gets published. Like this, I would just, you know, I want to kind of keep this to internal, and it could be like members can listen to these editorial talks in the future if y'all are okay with that or want to do that. It could be another perk. But, you know, because we kind of riff, and I think, you know, I don't know. To me, it's interesting. I think that somebody else who's interested in the process of like what a collective like ours would go through, it may be of interest to them as well. If nobody else has anything and I don't have anything, then I guess that means we're done.
Wow.
10 minutes early. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
And strange, cause I had lists of things and we didn't cover them in order at all, but we covered them all. So
go with the flow.
Perfect.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys. This is great.
This is a really good meeting. Mm-hmm.
Great to see you guys.
Yeah, good to see you.
In a couple weeks.
Awesome. Okay.
All right.
I hope to be clear on my other commitments to pay attention to the what comes in, the submissions as they start coming in.
Yeah, I guess pace yourself.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.